Hey there, welcome to the latest episode of the Pulling on Heaven podcast. We have an amazing, amazing show for you today. Pastor, welcome. Thank you so much
for having me here with you. Always great.
And, you know, I know that today you were really looking forward to, Pastor had a revelation. He was going to talk to us. God had told him when exactly Jesus was coming back, and so he was going to talk about that. But instead, we had so much overwhelming email asking for another one of our Quote Fest 5000 sessions
that we figured
we're going to have to put on Jesus' return on hold. Sorry, guys. You have to look back in a future one. If Pastor remembers, his memory is not so great anymore. But that's why I have this list of great sayings that he said, and we're going to talk about some of them. But
which is going to be challenging since
you can't remember anyone.
Yeah. You said it's true. This should be challenging.
And if when Jesus was coming back was it within the next 20 minutes or so, we may not get to the end of it either. So that could be a challenge as well.
And I think then that would be all right too.
So the idea of Quote Fest 5000. Quote Fest 5000. That's going to have great echo on my voice.
It will echo, right?
Quote Fest 5000 was Jonathan's brainchild, because you have an amazing ability to say just the most profound sentences that, on the one hand, are very simple. They convey a spiritual truth, and yet they can be unpacked forever. You know, they're very profound, but they also very simple. And sometimes they're catchy. Sometimes they go, but that Jesus talked a lot that way too. And so, so it's fun to sometimes dive into some of these things. So our ongoing list, I think we're at number 273. Is that correct? No, yeah. I think we're at about like 23. Is actually where we're really at.
I love how you always hide them.
I gotta hide them down there. Well, because no peeking, really. I'm afraid that
not.
I don't want
Feels
you.
Feels like a test.
Yes, I don't want you to prophetically know. Okay, tell me what number one is.
it feels like a test of my memory, and let's see if that really had significant meaning to him. Because if it did,
that's right.
He has to know and remember what it meant, and I don't know how far back these go.
There's three of these within here that you didn't say. And when I say them to you, you have to identify that those... No, I'm just kidding.
So you know I'm not just
And I think we're both actually trusting that Jonathan, who put together this list, that you did say some of these. And Jonathan isn't messing with us.
I hope so.
Yeah. But all right. So anyway, so let's get
or
started.
Jonathan before did, he can tell me what they mean.
That's right. Yeah. But okay. So this first one we're going to start out with, I do know that you said, because I was there and I heard you say it. And I believe, again, we film these at kind of random times for our podcast. So I'm not sure when it relates back to, but the last service I was at, I believe that you had said this.
And then I should remember.
Yeah,
that.
You should remember it. It wasn't that long ago. It was somewhere within the realm of 2024, I believe.
All right.
Who knows where we are now, but unless we're in heaven, because Jesus did come back, because you never got to tell us.
Yeah, and the people who are watching this are really glad.
Yeah, that's where we are if we disappeared. So the first one was, and this is such a profound thought, because I know that throughout scripture, and I know in our lives, a lot of people, I've certainly felt it. I know people have said that, where it's kind of like, man, it would be so much easier on my faith, and it would help me to believe people I know that don't believe in God at all. You know, if he would just show up, if I could see him, if God's real, that's so much of the world. If he's real, where is he? Why doesn't he show up? Why do we have to have faith? And you made the statement that was so powerful and so profound that even if God appeared to you as you want him to, you still wouldn't recognize him.
Right.
Why is that?
Well, number one, the word it calls God the invisible God, and we see him with our faith. That's the creation that we are.
And let me just interject there. The world seems to see that as a problem. You know, that he's the invisible God, and that's the problem, but the reality is that's the point, right?
That's the point. Well, invisible, and here's where I think the confusion comes in. Invisible doesn't mean non-existent. It just means seen in a different way. You know, experience in a different way. There's a lot of things you and I experience on a day-to-day basis that we don't see, but it keeps us alive.
Yeah.
You know, we breathe and the spirit of life that is within us. I mean, we we become very dependent on those things, but we don't see them. We know they're there. We live by them and because of them, and that's what God has created. Listen, if God is beyond human intelligence, that's why he said we live by faith, where it says we live by faith and not by sight. And it's not saying that God can't be seen. It's how he is seen. And he's seen. That's why he created us and didn't make us just a spirit or an angel, because he wants to be seen from within. It's again, the vine and the branch and the fruit. It's all there, but you can't see it. I mean, you don't see the roots unless you dig it up. You know, you can see the trunk and you see the vine, but you don't see the fruit until it shows up. Same thing with us. We only believe what we can reason out, even if we see it. And maybe the more of the what would you call it, the scientific or the biological format here would be, we see images, our eyes capture images, send it to the brain, and the brain tells us what it is. Yeah. Okay, that's what seeing is. It's not the eye telling us what it is. The brain says is what the image is. And it's very similar in a very unsimilar way. If we can't make sense of it, if we can't figure it out, we don't believe it. And your brain can't do that, because God is beyond human senses, natural senses. We are creations of faith, and we have to believe to see. And once we believe, then we begin to see the expressions of God in our attitude, in our transformed lives, in peace, in joy, and just having a confidence that we don't see. A lot of times evidence for that confidence either. But what the mind can't reason out, it just can't believe. You can look at it, but if you can't make sense of it, reason it out, you're going to doubt that it exists, because our mind is what's telling us that is a reality or it is not a reality, and God is beyond the reality of our ability to figure it out or manage it with our minds. Thank God that he's greater than that, what is it, 3, 4, 5 pound piece of of meat and muscle in our head. But and this is expressed when Adam and Eve see God in the garden, or hear God. Let's say they hear God. His presence is made known to them, and yet they doubt the word of God. And Jesus came. He was God in the flesh. The word says, and God was manifest in him in his fullness. That's a big word. And the people doubted him. They didn't worship him as God, meaning they didn't see him as God.
Yeah,
they saw him as an instrument or a prophet, or even those. There was more people than Peter that said, this is the Christ. You know, when the woman at the well comes, or Jesus comes to the woman at the well and asks her for a drink, and he begins to speak by a word of wisdom, word of revelation, a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, begins to tell her who she is, what she's done in her life. She says, he told me all that I had done. She revealed my secrets and made them known, and no one could know it unless he's God. So she goes and tells people, and they say, okay, and they say, okay, well, we believe based on what you said that he must be, maybe he's the coming Messiah. And then the word says they listened to him, and after they heard him, then they believed he was. You can believe someone is something they say, but only revelation reveals to you that they are.
Yeah.
Okay, meaning you can believe for a minute based on something that happened, like Jesus healed. He did miracles. He raised the dead, healed the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the lame walk. But then they doubted that he was Christ, and they were willing to take part in the crucifixion. So when your mind cannot make sense of it, when you can't figure it out, you can't really find it out. And so if God were to appear in a way we want to see him, so our natural mind could say, now I know you're God because I see you with my eyes and I can make sense of you, that wouldn't be God. Certainly not God in his fullness, because he is beyond our ability to recognize him with our eyes and comprehend him with our mind, because he is God. Therefore, he's revealed to us from within by his Spirit, and we take on the image and the mind of Christ, which is done by faith and faith alone.
And the Bible even goes on even so far to say that the angels who can see God look on us with envy.
Yeah.
So that's got to tell us something about the value that we think of. If I could just know what God wants me to do right now, or well, I could just see there, I could see him. If I basically didn't have to utilize faith, how much better my life would be. And the angels are sitting there going, you guys don't even know how good you have it.
Yeah. That's a great way to say it. Yeah, in most simplistic terms, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. You can't look at God and know him. He has to live through you so you know him. He is revealed through you. God is a spirit. And they that worship him, they that love him, they that believe in him, they that experience him have to do it in the spirit and in the truth of who he is, not what we expect him to be. And our great gift is that we get to believe that he's God without ever seeing him. Yeah. And then we know he's God without ever seeing him. Or do we see him? We do. We see God. God is invisible, but it doesn't mean you cannot see him in his form, in his will. You see him in his will. You see him in his love. You see him in his wisdom. You see him in his salvation, in his grace, in his mercy. We do see him, just not in a way that we're able to have this intellect as to, now I've got you figured out. Yeah. Now I see you and I know you're God because I can reason out, because I've seen you with my eyes and know with my mind you're God, because he's a spirit. He's beyond that. It just wouldn't make any sense. It's like trying to make sense out of God always being. And the reason we wrestle with that idea, if you don't just have faith he is who he is, and this proves the point, if we can't make sense of it, if we can't intellectualize it, if we can't say, this is why, I've got it figured out, we don't believe it can exist. It's hard for us to believe in any intelligence of our natural mind that someone has always been. Why? Because we only understand a beginning and an end.
Yep.
That's what our mind knows. It doesn't know anything beyond that. So your mind, your eye, is never going to look at eternity and say, there he is. And even if you look at him, as the word says, they beheld him, but they didn't behold him as God. Yeah. They rejected him as God. And the one that made them and made the world dwelt among them. They beheld him. They saw him. They handled him, and yet they denied him. And that's the very reason. God is exceeding abundant and beyond all we know to ask or think. He's God. And I love that God and his greatness is so beyond our comprehension, and yet he reveals himself through us.
Man, wow. We could spend several podcasts just talking about that.
That's a world in itself.
Instead of doing that, let's transition. And related to that very same idea was another quote that you had said that said, the reason you can't hear God is because you're not interested in what he's saying. And I think in a strange way, those are kind of two sides of the same coin, right? Seeing and hearing.
When your greatest desire is the intentions of God, then you will hear God. Mm. We don't hear him because we're not interested in what he has to say. God speaks to us all the time. He's constantly revealing. He's constantly sharing. He's God. He's our life. He is life. There is no life outside of God. There certainly isn't any life beyond God. He is. Jesus is the fullness. He is life. And we hear God a lot of times, but we just, it's like looking for your glasses, your sunglasses, in the wrong places. You're looking all over the house, all over your vehicle when they're sitting on top of your head.
Right.
Okay? You're just not looking in the right place. And so often we are more interested in what God can do that we need done. And so we let our needs drive our intentions, our interests. But if we become more interested, if our greatest interest is his intentions, then we'll hear him because he's always speaking regarding his will. His word is wisdom. And it's just real simple. Get interested in what he has to say.
Yeah.
And you'll hear his voice.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know what makes me think? This is an interesting topic to explore a little bit. There's a section, I think it's in Ezekiel, in which God literally says, like, the prophets at the time were leading the people astray, and this is a powerful scripture because God says, I will prophesy to my prophets falsely, and if they prophesy to the people, and prophesy that to the people, and then the people follow it, I'm going to punish the prophets, and I'm going to punish the people for following it, and that's kind of like the ultimate version of seeking after God for only what you want to hear. Because in this case, God really is saying to them what they want to hear. And if they repeat that this is what God told me to say, and it was what they were there, even though God said it, and they don't recognize it as the heart of God, he's going to punish them for it.
Yeah. And the whole point there is you're only hearing me say what you want me to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's your hearts. And you can't, if God is saying one thing, it's like, I mean, have you ever been a crowd? If God is saying one thing and you're listening for something else, you just don't hear it. It's like being uninterested in a conversation. I mean, we've probably all been there.
Totally.
You're sitting there staring at someone's face, watching their mouth move. The auditory nerve in your ear is vibrating based on their speech pattern, but you have no idea what they said.
Yeah.
And you're going, what did she, what did they?
Happens to me all the time.
Because you're not interested.
Or just interested in something else. Yeah.
Your mind is
it drives my wife
elsewhere.
Crazy. I mean, you know, because I live, especially.
So what you're saying is you don't listen to, well, we won't go there.
Well, I listen to her when I know she's speaking. I try to, but a lot of times, you know, if we're just sitting there, it might seem like I'm, the way my brain works, and I'm sure your brain is so, even more so, but, you know, being a filmmaker, writer, all this kind of stuff. So I'll sit there at times and my brain's just off in la la land, imagining and thinking about stuff. Yeah. And my wife will start talking to me. and I won't even realize she's started talking to me half the time.
Right.
And it drives her crazy. And then she's got to make sure she gets my attention to go, okay, now we're talking. So pay attention.
I may have had two of those incidences in my life. My wife and my daughter.
Daddy, yeah, exactly.
Mark Donald say, your daughter was talking to you. And the point is, it's not about someone speaking. It's are you interested in what they have to say.
Correct.
And when our interests turn to God's intentions, what he wants to say, then we hear the voice of God. Because people, and the reason that's so important is people say, I can't hear God. Of course you can. You just have to become interested in what he has to say. He says, if you call on me, I will answer you, and I will tell you or show you great and mighty things. And I love it because it's the word inscrutable, things you don't know. Things you hadn't thought about, and that's the whole point. Where a lot of times our mind is elsewhere. That's why worship and praise is so powerful. It gets your mind off of you, so you can hear what we need to hear.
Well, let me ask you this: a little bit on the spot, but not really. But so there's people that watch your services, watch this podcast potentially that aren't necessarily they might be part of some other kind of belief, some other kind of religion, might have no religion at all, but let's say not necessarily Christians and everything like that. Where they're at right now, can they call out to God and have and God speak to them and lead them to where he wants them to go?
Absolutely, anyone can. God's no respecter of persons. He created every individual to know him, to walk in his fullness, to walk in his will and his wisdom. But you said something else too. So the answer is yes, anyone can. Call on me, whoever, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things. But you have to want, again, to hear what God has to say. Yeah. So you have to be, again, when your greatest interest is his intentions, then you will hear him. If your greatest interest is in him talking to you about your intentions, he may not have anything to say specifically about what you want, because what he wants is far greater. Matter of fact, sometimes, a lot of times, our wishes, wants, desires lead us astray and create more issues. God always leads us in the paths of righteousness, which is to be rightly wise, to be wiser, to understand the course of your life, why we're here, what we're about, and what the best course is.
Yeah.
And God's not going to tell you something because he's holy that you shouldn't hear or don't need to hear. He's the way, he's the truth. Jesus said, I am the life. So he's leading us in a way which should go. But another thing here also, now there's no but on that. That's Selah. When someone can be listening to a podcast talking about you know, the greatest day of your life. And they're sitting there going, this is the most miserable day of my life. And they will never really hear what you're saying, because the word of God requires the Spirit of the Lord to reveal what the word is. It's life. The words I speak to you, Jesus said, they're spirit and they're life. So you have to hear them in that way. So again, if your mind is off in some, you know, the devil's after me, or people are out to get me, or the world is against me, it's like not even hearing what God is saying. So the answer comes, but you never hear it, because your mind, as you were saying, our minds can be elsewhere, even though someone's giving you the answer or saying something to you, and you just don't hear it.
Man, that's good. That makes a lot of sense. Man, why is my thing not working? Oh, here we go. Another question.
All right.
You know, I feel like there's these amazing nuggets of wisdom. We're like, okay, that's great. What's the next quote?
On to the next.
Tune into the other podcast if you want something to really think about. Okay, this is good and ties also into stuff you've been preaching about lately. And it's just something simple. Your measure of faith is what you do.
You may think, you know, the word says God has given to everyone the measure of faith. So you can say, I wonder how much faith I have. People think, how much faith do I have, or do I have enough faith? And I mean, the reason we're doing this, I mean, the reason I'm answering these questions is because we want the Spirit of God to open your mind and your heart to what the purpose or the intention of the quote is, so you understand it better. A lot of times in the text of what we're talking about, something is led into one of these quotes. Something's God has said to me, and I bring it up here. But and what was the question again?
Your measure of faith is what you do.
The point is he's given to everyone the measure of faith. So you have to understand what that means, why we're answering the quote. What is the measure? What is my measure? How much do I have? Your measure of faith is determined by your actions of faith. I mean, your measure is what you do. If you do little by faith, then your measure is little. So would God say you have a measure of faith? Of course, because he said at times, Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. And what was he saying? Your faith isn't, your expression isn't a faith. It's of fear or of doubt. So your measure, meaning the way you're responding to a situation, is small in regards to trust and faith in me. But if you are a Steve Blenn or an Anton or a Jonathan or a Mark, or and your response is fully, you're fully invested. Mm-hmm. There's faith doesn't have breaks or reverse. It's just all the way forward. So a great measure of faith is a great confidence and a great expression of faith. Faith is what you do. Act on your faith.
Yeah.
Faith without works is dead. Being alone, little faith, little action. It isn't because you don't have little faith. You're expressing little faith because you have a lot of fear. How do you have a lot? You're acting on that fear. Your response is to fear. I've said many times, you can feel fear. And if you don't respond to fear, but you respond to faith, fear will overcome your feeling, and feeling fear isn't a sin. I mean, something happens, and before you can think, you feel that fear. Chemistry of fear. Yeah,
part of the fight, setup fight of everything.
Exactly. You know, it keeps you, is why you hear a sound, you duck, you know, so you don't get hit in the head. But the point is that when we become more reactive than responsive to the word, then that would be considered little faith, which is why Jesus said in the boat and the waves, how is it you have so little faith? What is he saying? Why don't you trust that I am with you? What God's saying today, trust the Lord is with you. Have faith. Again, let your ear hear your mouth say, God's doing something incredible, and I'm seeing it. I may not be seeing it with my eyes, but I'm seeing it with my faith. I have great faith. My measure is determined on my actions, my attitude.
You know what that makes me think of? It makes me think of the concept when you talk about like soldiers in war or throughout history, the idea of courage or bravery, you know, and nobody would look at someone who doesn't do anything and call that person courageous.
Right.
But at the same point, the fact that they've done something that could be called courageous means that there would be a reason to be afraid or not want to do it. or whatever, and they've done it anyways. Yeah. And it's funny because faith in some ways gets put off as this passive description, when the reality is, like courage, faith has to exist in the manifestation of someone, of you doing something.
Yeah, similar to courage, exactly, which is why we go through the different trying of our faith. So there's a difference in ignorance of a situation. So you just walk out there in the middle of the battlefield, not realizing.
Yeah, that wasn't courage.
We're getting ready to, gunfire is about to take place here. But you walk out there and, you cross the line and you weren't brave. You were just unaware.
Yeah, you're just ignorant.
As opposed to, bullets are flying. You go and you rescue the people with bullets flying. Well, your fight response is going crazy. Your chemistry is going wild, but your heart, your love for helping, saving, courageous. You act on it anyway. Same thing with faith. Things don't seem to be going right. Why mustn't I have much faith? No, you have great faith, but it takes that response, that action of faith to what you're believing. What am I believing? Here's something else. Sometimes you may not know what to believe. I don't know what to believe, but I believe God is doing something and being seen in my faith. And if I can't see it, he can. And it's not like, God, I'm going to reward you because you were. No, the reward, if you will, is that I'm living and walking in faith. And God opens, something opens in your mind. It's called the mind of the Spirit. And you begin to interpret the whole situation differently when you become courageous in your faith.
Yeah.
You may not even know. I'm not even sure what to believe God for right now. His situation, I don't even know how to pray. Well, that's where you say, this is the greatest season of my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And surely I'm going to dwell in the presence. The only good can happen to me. These are standards that we teach. So when people don't know what to do, we say that little song, what you going to do when you don't know what to do? I'm going to praise him.
Yeah.
Why? He's so amazing. And it's the same thing with faith. Sometimes you don't know what to say or what to pray. But if we just will declare in whatever fashion or format or articulation that comes out of you that God is with me, he's present, the Lord is my shepherd, then the word says the Spirit takes over. And before you know it, you know what to pray. You know what to say. Things become clear. Yeah. And that's the key.
On a strange tangent to that, you talking about the idea of fear, and it's like, just being afraid isn't a sin. Like, something happens, you get afraid, and then you have the opportunity to exercise faith. And this takes us in a slightly different direction, but I think it's related. I think about, and I've thought about this before, I think a lot of people who have grown up in the church and some pretty, bad theology, as it were, have become really scarred, messed up by the thought that I think a lot of times the church has taught that if the sheer thought of something, when it came into your head, that shows you that you're not saved, you're not worthy, you're not, because you got afraid in this situation, then you're not a true believer, or you don't have faith, where those things are the very mechanisms, the very setups that lead us to us. And I think even about Adam and Eve, who looked upon the fruit, the Bible says, and they saw that it was desirous to eat. Okay. Now, what's funny is that they didn't have sin. There was no sin inside them. So God said, don't have this. They looked at it, and something inside them, regardless of the serpent, said, hey, that looks pretty good.
No.
And I feel like I feel like a lot of times people have grown up in a church life that says, if you ever even the victory, the faith is applying it in the face of something versus I'm worthless because this thought came into my head.
Yeah, well, you can tend to think a couple of things. Number one, that you're living by faith because things are going good today.
Yeah.
That may not be the case at all. You may just be having outcomes that you hope for. That doesn't necessarily mean you're living by faith. Faith is when there is a challenge and your answer is God said.
Yeah.
And as far as any theology or teaching, regardless of whether it's on a theological platform or otherwise, you can't expect people to become the ultimate of who they are when you tell them who they're not. You have to reveal. That's what God
said. That's so good.
God said, here's the earth, you're man, I'm giving you dominion, you can reign and rule over it, okay? Of course, God knew that they had free will, but God didn't say, you're going to mess up, and you're going to do this, and you're not ready
and watch
yet,
out.
And watch out. He just said, listen, don't touch that, because if you do, you'll die, but you don't have to do that. You know why? You have dominion over all the earth, and you have everything you need right here. All you need, every tree, you can eat to your full. And you can keep eating. You can eat as much as you want. And that's how God did it, because you will only become who you are when you know what that is, not when you know what it's not.
Wow. That's powerful. That is life-changing.
So our churches need to tell everybody who they are.
Yeah, and absolutely.
You know, I love because of the transformation of the mind. Mm-hmm. The mind can learn a lot of things, but I'm talking about the transformation that comes by the mind of God, the mind of the Spirit. And that's why the Word says we have the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. So think from that mind, not from, again, don't let anyone tell you the furnace is going to burn you up. If God sends you in, then you're going to be a witness for him. If it's in the den, God's with you there. If it's through the sea, God's with you there. And if it's just on a great sunny day on the beach, God's with you there. But it's when you stand and say, God has said, when it doesn't look like what you're thinking about, you know, God's showing me something beyond what I'm looking for. So God's doing something. How do we know that? Because he said so.
Man, and if when you're getting peppered by questions by your code, God's there with you, man. Well, you know what? We are fresh out of time. That was, man. What did we get through? Three? I think we got through three, which means we're at. I think we're now at 27 out of 5,000 quotes.
That many.
So we'll see if we get through those before Jesus comes back.
We'll see. Well, and there may be some new ones that come up in between now and then, so it might be kind of like...
It'll be extended. So I'm sorry that we're keeping Jesus from coming back because there's just too many quotes to go through. Is that sad? I hope we don't get struck by lightning. No, that is not sacrilege. We are walking out the fullness of who God is. And we thank you guys for being part of this journey. And we're excited whenever Jesus comes back, we're excited to see his full will and purpose manifest in all that he does in and through us. Amen. And I thank you, Pastor Reem, for such a powerful voice in helping us to look towards how God sees the kingdom and how we can walk and experience the fullness of it.
Well, I love what Jesus said. He said, it's here, it's now. Walk in it. Seek it, believe it, and you'll find it.
Amen.
Greatest season of your life. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.